What if you could change your life? What if sorrow could become joy and the darkness the light? What if you could heal not only yourself, but those around you? Well, you can. It's called alchemy. And these are the Alchemy Sisters. Join quantum karmic healer Jenny McDaniel and intuitive empowerment coach Mandy Elam for a magical journey into esoteric spiritual discussions. Brought to you by Heart Over Ego Radio.
Hello and happy Monday. It is June 1st, 2020, and you are here with Mandy and Jenny. Hey, Jenny, how are you doing?
Doing pretty good, enjoying this beautiful day in northern Albuquerque, and just had a lovely lunch outside and got some fresh air, so I'm feeling fantastic. Thanks for asking. How about you?
Beautiful. I'm good. I'm actually up north in Vermont. I'm in Newport, Vermont, which is on the Canadian border, and it's been a week here weather-wise. Things are blooming. It was in the 80s, and then it got really cold. And now it's just been kind of rainy today, but I've just really been enjoying it because I grew up here and it's nice to be home and be welcomed by the Green Mountains.
Wonderful. I'm glad you got to get some Vermont action in. Wonderful. I'm excited about today's show because we have a very special guest. And right before the show, we were saying we haven't had a channel on in a while. So we get to have one of the best at the Southwest or the country, if you want to stretch it that way. I think she's that good, has to offer. She is amazing. Her name is Donna Carroll. And she, I've known her on and off for years, and I've gotten some of the best, clearest channels ever from her. So I'm excited she's going to be here. And I know you've got to work with her a little bit, I think, Mandy, or at least we had her on the show before, didn't we?
We did, and I just love following Donna and her energy. She is going to be very nurturing for all of us right now because she connects with a lot of angels and the Divine Mother and the ancient Lemurian energy and wisdom, and she has so much to share with us, and I think tonight's episode is divine timing with everything happening in the country right now and all the things everyone's feeling within their hearts. I think it'll be really nice to connect in with Donna and visit with the Divine Mother. So with no further ado, welcome, Donna. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me, Mandy and Jenny. I appreciate your hospitality, and I'm really happy to be here.
We just love holding space with you, and I know our guests really enjoyed it the last time you were on. Could you take a minute just to introduce yourself and tell our listeners how to get a hold of you if they want to look you up?
Sure, I'd love to.
They're listening to our show.
Sure. The easiest way to look me up is to go to my website. However, it's down right now. I'm changing servers, but I do have a website. It's called LemurianDonnaCarroll.com, and I go by Lemurian Donna Carroll now. So just as an easy way for people to recognize what I'm all about. And then they can always email me at LemuriandDonnaCarroll@gmail.com. And I have a Facebook page as well. They can just check me out at Donna Carroll. And then I think it's Martin's my last name. So, yeah.
Excellent. And do you have any upcoming events you'd like to share with us?
Yes, I'd love to. Thank you. In 2 days, I will be teaching a class called Learn to Channel the Lemurian Way. And I am a channeling teacher. I've taught several classes in New Mexico and Albuquerque and Las Cruces. But this is my first class on Zoom, so I'm kind of excited about that because people will be participating from all over the country. And this class is designed specifically for starseeds, Lemurians, but also other starseeds, Pleiadians, Andromedans, Sirians, whomever. And what happens is my guide, who is the Lemurian mother goddess, the ancient goddess of Lemuria, will come in and connect the students to their guides, and then they learn how to channel. So it's pretty fun, it's pretty interesting, and everybody has different guides. So it makes it, there's a lot of variety in the room, let's just say. And so I'm starting that this Wednesday and Friday. I have 6 people in the class right now. I actually have space for 2 more if anyone's interested. And I have a YouTube channel. It's called Lemuria and Donna Carroll, and I do free channelings there every week at 2 o'clock Eastern Time, 11 o'clock Pacific Time, and I channel different entities. So last Sunday, I channeled Mother Mary, and she talked about what was going on in the country, and I guess she gave advice on what our response should be, and it was good. And I channel a lot of different entities there, so I'll channel ETs sometimes, the Lemurian Mother Goddess, Yeshua, Mother Mary. And I also channel, once in a while, I'll channel Indian masters. So I have Eastern and Western influence in my spiritual practices. So, yeah.
I love that. Yeah, that is a plethora of high vibe and soul to channel. Do you find that you like to channel one more than another, or are they all just lovely, unique, and different and wonderful all the same, or do you have particulars you prefer?
I like to channel them all. A very important guide for me is my friend Thor, and Thor, I knew him when he was alive, so I have practiced meditation for 25 years, and I've been in the same practice for 25 years, and it's called Heartfulness. So it's an Indian practice. I have a guru, and Thor was in that practice. At the time, it was called Sahaj Marg. So I knew him when he was alive. He's a person, right? But anyhow, he passed in 2012, and he went to the other side. And then I started channeling him a few years ago, and he's channeled a book through me. It's pretty much written. I just haven't edited it or published it yet, but he's channeled about 100 pages through me. And it's all about creation, the fall of man, soul signatures. It has a lot of information, esoteric information, but information about our role here, the earth, our spiritual evolution, that kind of thing. So he's an extremely important guide for me. And he's a great guide for me because I knew him when he was alive. All the other entities, you know, I don't know. They're in spirit, you know. Mm-hmm. So he's, and plus my main guide is the Lemurian Mother Goddess. And what happened was in 2016, I used to channel publicly in Albuquerque once a month. I don't do that any longer because I channel on YouTube once a week. And plus we can't meet in public, or we weren't able to. So I was curious about Lemuria. And so in 2000, and that's how it hits. It's like, my guides really don't talk to me directly very much. I am a direct channel. So I just open myself up and they just come in and take over my voice. And so I was curious about Lemuria. And so the guides came in and they channeled the history of Lemuria. And I call the channeling the Song of Lemuria, but it was a pivotal channeling for me because there's not a lot of information on Lemuria out there. There's more now than there was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. But this channeling gave an overview, a broad history. It talked about the civilization, how it was formed, why it came into being, what its purpose was. And then it talked a little bit about the fall of Lemuria. So that's when I found out that there was a Lemurian mother goddess. I found out that entity actually came down and started Lemuria. She came down in her physical form, or etheric form, I guess, and started the civilization. She came down probably with her twin flame, but she came in just as a vehicle, and then all of the Lemurians came down through her. So actually the Lemurian mother goddess is prime creator in feminine form. And that entity has come down time and time again. However, over the last, you know, few thousand years, she's come down much more readily, and she's come down in male form much more so because it's been a male-dominated culture in the last 2000. I mean, ever since Atlantis, really. So now she's coming down in her feminine form again and bringing back the sacred feminine energy. But she's been incarnating the whole time.
That's awesome. Are there any particular messiahs that she may have incarnated in. You said she came in as a man several times because of just the way the world is. Did she incarnate as a Buddha or Krishna or anything like that?
She did. So she came in as a Lemurian mother goddess. I also know that she had incarnations as Krishna, Shiva, Krishna, Rama. So that the Trinity, the Godhead, that is prime creator, but it's the male aspect. She also came in as Akhenaten or Amenhotep III, the pharaoh that started monotheism in ancient Egypt. She came in as Kuan Yin. She also came in as Jesus. So, you know, Jesus had an incarnation as Krishna. People don't understand that the messiahs and the gods that they worship, the prime creator has come down time and time again in many different cultures, many different lifetimes, many different eras. And that entity has come in usually with a very specific soul purpose or a very specific job to get done in a particular incarnation. So with Akhenaten, he came in to start monotheism, the worship of one God, and also to start building the Christ consciousness grid. So, and that was a very different job or role than when he incarnated as Krishna, but it's all one entity. It's one soul. It's not even just one, you know, oh, it's God. No, it's one soul that is incarnating in these different cultures. I don't know about the Buddha. That one I don't know.
So. Sounds like she gets all the good parts in this show called Earth. No, I tease, but that's awesome. And gets all the main gigs, all the main leads. That's awesome. No, if you would, Donna, and I've heard many different theories, and I am a psychic and I see things a certain way too, but I'm really interested in your take on the history of Atlantis, or excuse me, you can talk about Atlantis if you want, but Lemuria. Can you give us some of that information that you channeled in the book form about the civilization?
Sure, yeah. So what was happening on Earth is that it was more or less in a primitive state, or the beings on Earth had fallen in consciousness, and they were more or less in a primitive state. And so it was decided in the celestial realms that, you know, the prime creator and the councils decided that they wanted to start a new civilization. And it actually was a hologram. So the civilization was started as a way to bring in high, high frequencies down again into Mother Earth and create a very beautiful civilization based on the sacred feminine. So the culture was all about nurturance or nurturing people. The beings that came in were angels, celestial beings. Eventually, a lot of Pleiadians came in and different star people from different galaxies. But initially, the Mother Goddess came in and she created the hologram or the space. And then all of the other beings came down through her. And there were a few, maybe 100 souls that came in initially. And I believe there were three main waves of the beings that came in. A lot of them came from far, far away places, but they lived in harmony. They were telepathic. They had incredible skills. They could go out of body very easily. They were communicating with the stars and the star people from the places where they had come from. And, you know, they lived in a lot of harmony, a lot of peace. But really the goal was to spread this energy across the earth. So some of the beings would remote view, and they would go off from Lemuria and remote, because Lemuria was in the Pacific Ocean. It was where Hawaii is. The lost continent of Lemuria is under those Hawaiian islands. That is that continent, and that continent is destined to rise again. It will come to the surface again. But they basically wanted to spread the energy to the rest of the world. And so the Lemurians, who were tall and telepathic and didn't have any fear, and anything that was hurled at them or came towards them, they could defend against. I mean, they were vibrationally much, much higher than the other people that were existing on the planet at the time. And so they would remote view the different civilizations that existed around the world at that time. And they would study the different peoples. And then they would go off as emissaries and they would greet and meet the people. And the people, sometimes they thought they were gods. Sometimes they thought the Lemurians were invaders, and they would get treated differently, different ways. And long story short is that eventually the Lemurians colonized the rest of the world, and they interbred with the people that lived on the different American or different continents at that time. And I know that the geographical structure was different on Earth at that time, but I don't know exactly how it looked like. Anyhow, so that's what happened. And when the Lemurians started interbreeding with the different peoples, their consciousness came down. So, and also what happened towards the end of Lemuria was that, first of all, they worshiped the divine and specifically the sacred feminine, the feminine aspect. And what happened is they kind of put the feminine aspect on a pedestal, and there was a consensus that it was superior to the male aspect, which is not true. And so basically it got out of balance, just like in Atlantis, it got out of balance because the male energy dominated. At the end of Lemuria, the female energy was dominating, and males were not seen as worthy. And the reason was is because females gave birth and creativity and the ability to procreate. That was considered, you know, that's why the females were better in their eyes, I guess. So that's another reason why Lemuria came to an end, because there was an imbalance in the feminine and masculine energies. But essentially it was designed to spread across the earth. When it originally came in, it was a hologram, and it was really protected. It was its own bubble. It was its own thing. And then the walls came down, you know, when the Lemurians went out and started meeting other people and being with other peoples, the hologram kind of dissolved. And so I think there's been writings about how the Lemurians at one point were warring with the Atlanteans, and that would have been much, much later. But eventually Lemuria went under the ocean. So that's basically the history of Lemuria from my guides.
Interesting. I find that so fascinating. Thank you for explaining that to us and giving it to us so digestible. And, you know, this just goes to show how a patriarchal society doesn't function. We can see it crumbling now in front of our very eyes in real time. And this channeled information that you all just heard about Lemuria being heavy on the feminine and how that became imbalanced and crumbled, just like the yin-yang symbol states, half and half, light and dark, masculine, feminine, yin and yang. It takes a balance and a collective and less of a superior and more of a collaboration. So I think that's interesting that we're kind of on the flip side right now of Lemuria.
Yeah, I think it is interesting. And so my job, I guess you could say, or my soul mission has to do with channeling the Mother Goddess and bringing in the Lemurian codes. So I bring in the energies through my guides to initiate and activate people in the Lemurian energy, to help them remember, maybe not consciously at first, but eventually consciously, because it was the highest level civilization, I think, that ever existed on the earth. And my guru tells me that there have been civilizations here for millions of years. We talk about Lemuria and Atlantis, but there were many civilizations prior, maybe ET. I don't know all the details, but Lemuria, the energies of Lemuria are coming back, and the Mother Goddess is going to reincarnate, and that whole society is going to be reborn, not exactly the same way it was originally, because there's a lot more going on Earth, meaning that right now we have star seeds coming in from various galaxies, star seeds that have never been here before. They weren't here in Lemuria. They weren't here in Atlantis. They're coming in. And also, my guides have told me that a lot of Venetians are coming in. So Venus in the higher dimensions has life, and a lot of the souls, well, I should say the Venetian souls, some of them incarnated in ancient Egypt, the Hathors were from Venus, but they're very artistic. They're very cultured, very refined. I mean, when you think about Venus and the Venetian energy, it has a certain vibration. And from what I've been told, in the next 200-300 years after the Ascension, there's going to be a huge cultural renaissance here on planet Earth, and it's going to be brought in by the Venetians. So, and that energy was actually hitting the planet a little bit during the Renaissance in Europe with the art and architecture of Renaissance Italy and so on and so forth. But I've met, actually, I did a reading for one gentleman, and I kind of was surprised because he was from Venus. He was Venetian, and I was told that he was a forerunner. So they have sent out, some Venetians have come early kind of to set the ground, but there's going to be more and more of them coming in, and they're really going to bring about the golden age. All of the, you know, what I'm trying to say is the art, the architecture, the music, the food, you know. And a lot of the new star seeds coming in that haven't been here before, you've heard about the Rainbow Kids and the Crystal Kids, and there's a new group called the Moonbeam Kids. I don't know that much about them, but I channeled the information that the Moonbeam Kids are coming in. But a lot of these new souls are going to bring in technology from their stars, from their home origins. So there's just going to be a huge, huge shift on the Earth, especially after the Ascension, when all of the ET technology and philosophy and information comes to this planet. So it's going to be really exciting.
Do you have a... Sorry, Mandy, I'm going to give you the mic. I've been asking the questions. I have one after you, though.
We're telepathing. You go, sister.
Do you feel, Donna, that that Ascension time is going to come sooner than later, or you don't know?
I can only tell you what I've been told. I think it's going to come sooner rather than later. And the reason why I feel this way, first of all, I think it's going to happen very, very quickly. I don't think it's going to be a long, drawn-out process. And I know that there's disagreement on that or a controversy. And no one really knows until it really happens, right? But I think, well, I mentioned before that I practiced Sahaj Marg or heartfulness. So I was in an Indian meditation practice. Actually, I still am. But it's a word of mouth practice. And the gurus, there's been four gurus. And three are on the other side right now. Well, the second guru, his name was Babaji. It's not the Babaji that everybody knows, the immortal master in the Himalayas, but another Babaji. And he channeled a book through a French meditator, and it's called Whispers from the Brighter World. And I believe there's, I don't know how many volumes of the book there are. I have the first two volumes. But anyhow, 20 years ago, these channeled writings came out from Babaji, who was on the other side. And one thing I can tell you about this book, it's very interesting. It's kind of a, I don't know what you would call it, but you get the messages from the book that you're supposed to get, and people can be reading the same page of the book, and they're reading different excerpts or different information. So it kind of changes based on the energy of the reader or recipient. But I think I got the first volume in 1999, and there's 12 pages of prophecy in this book, which is kind of outlandish prophecy. I mean, pretty detailed. And Babaji has said, or wrote, that there will be a physical pole shift, not just magnetic pole shifting, but a physical pole shift and that will be the start of the new age. And he also said that it will occur before the end of the first quarter of this century. So the end of the first quarter of this century would be January 1st, 2026. So I'm expecting something in the next 6 years, because my guru said. Now I believe this because it's my guru. I don't expect everyone to believe this, but he also gave some prophecies about how this world would look. Now he said that electricity would not function in this new world because it just couldn't. The vibration is not simpatico for electricity to be working. So there won't be any electricity. And there will be huge earth changes. You know, he said that Europe would disappear in the twinkling of an eye. New lands will be rising. Some lands will be going under the sea. He said that there will be a volcano that will go off in the middle of London. He also said that most of the UK will be going under the water. So, you know, whether or not this is 100% true, we all know that things change over time. But this is what I'm going with. So that's what my guides say. There's going to be a pole shift relatively soon.
It's fascinating. Mandy, do you have any questions you want to ask Donna? I've kind of hogged the mic.
Oh, I love it. It's all been wonderful and in alignment. I have been really, you gave me some confirmation because a lot of my clients have been giving birth to new babies, and I've been seeing a lot of things energetically via my guides about these moonbeam kids, and that's the first time I've heard them labeled that, but I know the energy that you're talking about, and some of them are so brand new, and as I'm working with my clients, particularly ones who are mothers at this time or grandmothers or, you know, not even just working on all kinds of things, empaths especially, I keep seeing this path that we need to cave of sensitivity for all of these new beings coming in, and they're showing these technologies and such big heart space that the way you were talking about how we're not going to be able to handle electricity. You know, I see their hearts not being able to handle the emotional energy that consists right now. And, you know, that's a big part of our whole network here, rising the heart over the ego with Heart Over Ego Radio, because I'm seeing them, the first waves of them starting to come in, and you're giving me some confirmation about that. So thank you for bringing up the Moonbeam Kids.
Oh, sure. That's fascinating that you know them and that you're working with them. I think I've met
like two potentially, but I've never seen anything like it. And it's something that I'm like, you know, just like being curious about and aware of and observing.
Yeah, it's something going on. I mean, I channeled information about them maybe 6 months ago, 9 months ago. I don't know. Just one time. And then I got confirmation as well because one of my either friend's clients, or actually it was another channel, a light language channel, and she got information from her guides that her grandson, her grandbaby, was a moonbeam kid. And they used the same terminology, moonbeam. And we both got the information. I think she got it earlier than I did, but we both got the same term. So that always helps when you get confirmation. I don't know that much about them, so I would love to, maybe you could write a blog or something.
Who knows? And we're going to learn more about it. And one of my friends is a channel, and I think that's interesting, because as you were talking about starseed origins and different things, I was thinking about one of my friends and one of my beautiful friend, Rachel Grundin. She has a lot of Venetian energy to her. And she's had a baby who I think is one of these moonbeam kids. And I know she won't mind me talking about it, because perhaps we'll bring her on the show to discuss it. But this child is just so different. And it's so...
Oh, yeah.
Lots of children. I've read lots of energy now on them. And I'm just so excited for this new wave of consciousness. And I see beautiful things for them and the technology they bring and the hearts and the discoveries and the ability to transmute all of this energy that the generations before them have created. So it's just going to be really interesting, and I'm grateful they're coming.
Oh, I'm so grateful they're coming and that they're here too. You know, some of them are getting, you know, to be teenagers and young men and women right now, the rainbow and the crystals, especially the crystals. But, you know, I came in on the indigo wave. So my generation, we were here to break down the systems. We were rebellious, anti-authority types of people. And in a way, clearing the space for these young ones coming in that will really be the ones that establish the new civilization. And, you know, they're going to have the willpower to do that. I mean, the thing about even in the 60s, the hippies, they didn't carry through. You know, they did not have the willpower to make the new culture sustainable. But because of the clearing that's taken place, and also because these other beings have such high vibrations and they haven't been here before, they're going to follow through and they're going to get it done, which is great.
Jenny, Donna, speaking your language.
Totally. I do feel like I'm this new flesh of revolution, kind of picking up the torch from the hippies and the yippies back in the day and continuing forward with a Christ-like energy to alchemize the anger and hate in these giant constructs that most of us follow, religion and politics. So yes, speaking my language. And I just want to give my co-host a plug. Her name is Sybil Starr. I do a show with her on my other podcast network called Third Eye Political Radio. She has been reading astrology for years and years and years. She's a 70-year-old astrologer in Northern California. She gave me a reading that flipped my lid back. Go check her out, Sybil Starr. You're going to dig her. She'll be able to send some enlightenment to you about what you got yourself into here. So interesting. You know, I've heard of these terms, crystal children, starseed, indigo, and I'm interested on how you can differentiate them, because when I take a glance at them, all I see is old soul, healer, teacher, seeker, and that can look like a lot of different things. So I always kind of just use one blanket term. I always say, oh, you're a crystal child, even though they are kind of broken down into generations. I'm thinking I hit the indigo bandwagon too, if I'm not mistaken, the year I was born. I was born in 78. I'll have to Google that to see when that breaks down.
I'm 85. I don't know what I am.
You might be crystal. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, how we break down the generations where we say, oh, we got the Gen X and we got the Gen Z and what have you. It's so interesting hearing you guys talk about these new beings coming in, because the generation that you guys are talking about is, if I'm hearing it right, is Gen Z, and they're called Zoomers, and they are interesting. And I was enlightened. I was in Albuquerque a few months back before the corona hit, and I got an opportunity to hang out in the radio station there on campus. I think it's the University of Albuquerque. And I had a friend on Facebook, and I was like, gosh, you know, I'm really interested in real radio. I do a lot of podcasts. Can I shadow? And she's like, yeah, go ahead. And I was happy about that because she didn't know me from Adam. So I was happy that she let me shadow, and she invited me over to hang out with her and her boyfriend and chit chat. And she's like, my boyfriend's just going to love the things you say. Of course, I'm speaking my language about past lives and stuff. So I was chit chatting with him. And I said, you know, we got a secret weapon here. We got the millennials. You guys got the numbers. You guys are the only generation bigger in numbers than the baby boomers, and they're aging out. They're dying. They're leaving the planet. So you guys are really going to have, when push comes to shove in the next few years or 10 or whatever, you guys are going to really have a handle and be some of the majority. And they're like, well, we appreciate you thinking we're secret weapons, and we'll try to uphold that status. But do you want to know who the real secret weapons are? And I'm like, who? They're like Gen Z. And I don't know any 12, 10, 9-year-olds. I just don't. I don't have any friends here that have kids, and I don't hang out with kids very often. So I was like, tell me more. And they're like, they use the same IP sign-in address so that they can't be tracked by the government. That's how hardcore they are. And I'm like, what? They're like, yep. I go, the new improved Terminator, to terminate this patriarchal non-balanced existence we're in. And they're like, yep, they're going to tie the knot at the end, and they are going to seal the deal that no, we want less government in our business. No, we don't want our minds read. No, why, when I think about something, does it pop up on Facebook? No, no, no. So they're drawing the line, and they're a bunch to be reckoned with. Now they're young now. We got to let them grow up, but I'm excited to see what they bring to the table, how they help us cultivate this place. I do feel like a pioneer, like you, Donna, coming in to kind of break down constructs and be a teacher. These guys can come in and finish up where we left off.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I've been incarnating since Lemuria, so I have had hundreds of lifetimes, you know, if not more. And to be honest with you, I'm ready to give up the ghost. I'm ready for this to be my last incarnation. However, my guru says I will be coming back one more time. So it's my second to last incarnation, but I'll be coming back way, way in the future. So I'm kind of like, this is the last part of my work, and then I'm out of here, and then the new ones can do what they will. You know, they're going to make this an incredible place.
Mm-hmm. I often tell everyone who will listen, there was so much strategy in coming into this existence. When we were in the non-physical, before we incarnated, we thought of about just about everything that could happen and thought about all the ways that we can learn what we want to learn, and strategy, strategy, strategy. And that includes incarnating with groups of people. So, for example, I've known both of these girls I'm on this show with today. You want to know why? Because they like to incarnate where I like to incarnate, which is in a revolution that needs a lot of work, that's going to bring some difficulty, but yet it's going to be satisfying for the old soul healer, teacher, seeker. So yes, we kind of put a lot of effort into learning what we want to learn, and people don't like that often. They'll say, why would I ever pick my mother? She abandoned me. And I'm like, I hate to break it to you, but have you ever thought that maybe in a parallel life, you abandoned your child? And if they trigger, I'm not their healer. But if they resonate with that and they think, maybe there is something I'm trying to learn here, I'm like, oh, there is. You wouldn't put yourself in that situation unless there was something you wanted to learn. Often we get the idea that we're told to incarnate, or that we get punished by a god. And in my theory, and I'll let you ladies tell us about your theories about it, but in my theory, we're judged by our highest self. God is offering the playground in the container, in the dimensions, and we come in and experience it. And if you want to come in, you come in. And if you don't, you don't. It's fascinating, Donna, how your guru was able to, I guess, prophesize you coming in one more time. It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, he told me this years and years ago, probably 25 years ago. So this was not the one that wrote the book, but his successor. But well, yeah, I've been here quite a bit.
That's true.
So I'm
a
ready,
lot of us have.
but yeah, I think it really is true. The prophecies, you know, we've all heard the prophecies in the Bible, Revelations, Nostradamus, Mother Shipton, Casey, the list goes on and on and on. And they talk about the golden age, the new era. It's coming. It's here. But it's not as far off as people would think it is. Even Casey, I think he predicted it to happen, you know, before the year 2000. It's hard to get timelines and time points correct, you know. But definitely years away. It's not even 20 years away. Yeah.
My teacher, who is a trance channel, he's also a psychotherapist. His name is Michael Traub. He channels entities named, combination of entities named O'Brien. Years and years ago, he asked me, do you think you'll be on the planet when the heart supersedes the ego energetically? And I go, I don't know, O'Brien. It's a mess down here. He goes, you will. And my teacher hardly ever prophesizes things, because he knows that we have free will and there's lots of subject to change and lots of variables. But he straight up said to me, oh, you will be. And I was like, that's great. And I thought on it for several years, and I came back and I was like, is it going to happen in about 15 years? And he goes, you know, we don't like to, we struggle with time in that way. But yes, if we were to put a human number on it, we would say about 15. And that was about 7 years ago. So we'll see how close and accurate my teacher is, give or take a few years. But either way, I do agree we're getting close. And all the old souls with all that strategy that we had wanted to be front row and center
it. Mm-hmm.
When it gets crazy. You know, we wanted to be here when the shit hits the fan, because we are warrior, rogue, old souls who come in and want to be a part of the change, want to flip ego into heart energy, want to heal the planet so that we can continue to live on her, opposite of Atlantis. We want to do the opposite of what they did and blow ourselves up, which it's anybody's game still. But the momentum, like my teacher said, we will end up flipping the heart over the ego, and there will still be work to be done, but it will be a lighter existence, and we can all take a breath and feel a little more relaxed. Mandy, did you say that you wanted to play the witching hour?
Yeah, I wanted to take a quick commercial break, and for that, we're going to play the intro to the Friday show that we added here on Heart Over Ego Radio. Jenny and I, as well as our friend Leah Sugar of the Green Witch Village, are hosting a Friday show that is a little bit of chat in the beginning and then a trilogy of meditative.
Oops, Mandy, we lost you.
Out from the work week and tune into the weekend. Oh, so yes, we're going to take a quick break, and then after that, we'd like to ask Donna to channel for us.
Oh, sure.
Wonderful. We'll be right back in about 40 seconds.
Welcome to the Witching Hour, where you're invited to tune in and drop out. Join us and settle in as you're guided through a trilogy of healing journeys to awaken, connect, and inspire. This is the Witching Hour.
Welcome back, everybody. You are here with the Alchemy Sisters. That's myself, Jenny McDaniel, and my ride or die, we got Mandy Elam, and our special guest today is Donna Carroll. And right before we went to break, Mandy broke up a little bit there, but I wanted to let everyone know the intro we just played is our newest show added to the Heart Over Ego radio crew. We're every Friday, and we're noon mountain, and what is that, 2 Eastern. We do a bit of chatting at the beginning, and then we go into a trilogy of guided meditation. If you want to be relaxed, focused, and present, go ahead and take a ride with us. I think that you will get what you want. So if you want to listen to some archived shows, go to any major podcast app and search Heart Over Ego Radio, and you will get all of us. We're about 7 shows a week right now, about to add 3 more. So we are here to serve you, to inform you, to hear you, and to bring awareness. And we are all spiritual in nature and each have our own different flair. So check us all out, and I think you're going to dig on us. So let's see. We were going to go to the channeling section of the show. Donna, do you feel prepared or do you need a bit more time?
Oh, no, I'm prepared.
Yeah. You can take the mic.
Okay, great. So I will channel the divine mother goddess of Lemuria. And I think right now I'm the only person channeling this entity, so probably your audience has not heard her before. But she has a very high vibration. It's all about the sacred feminine, and it's all about bringing that burning love into your heart. So I'm just going to do my invocation and we'll see what she has to say. So at this time, I would like to call in my highest and best healing and channeling guides. I call in the highest and best guides of all who are listening to the show now or later. I would like to call in the archangels, Archangel Michael, Raphael, Ariel, and Gabriel. I also ask for 10,000 warrior protection angels around anyone listening to this broadcast now or later. Block all negative entities, energies, and thought forms. Lastly, I would like to bring in the Divine Mother Goddess of Lemuria, and I ask her to speak a message to the audience today. Amen. Yes, hello, this is the Divine Mother Goddess of Ancient Lemuria, and I am so excited and happy to be with you here today. It is my privilege and honor to speak with you today. I want to give you a message of love and a message of hope. Yes, Jenny is correct. You are all here in this stew of a world. Some might say it is just craziness personified at this time, but you are here for a very important purpose that has been planned out since the days of my incarnation upon Lemuria. There has been a long and carefully orchestrated plan to bring this planet, Terra Nova, back into the highest vibration possible. So although it is planned that humans will ascend into their heart chakra and into the fifth dimension, the reality is that the opportunity exists for human beings to go even higher in vibration. And yes, some of you will. There is much support around you. In your skies right now, there are many, many ships from many different light beings from different parts of this universe. There are beings who have incarnated on your planet who are from other universes. Everybody is here voluntarily to help with the great shift of the ages, and it is happening right now. What we would like to say to you is to stay in your center, stay in your pillar of light, stay in your heart, and ground that beautiful heart energy onto the planet. Understand that there are billions of people who are living on your planet right now, and there is much, much karma that is coming up for the collective, karma that is not just related to the Piscean age, but the whole astrological ages of the last 26,000 years, the epic age of the Zodiac is coming up for karmic release. And yes, some of that release is not pleasant. It is not loving. It is, if humans were to judge it, they would even call it horrific. But please understand that this is all happening for a reason. It must be released so that the baggage can be removed, the floors can be swept, the garbage can be taken out, because the environment must be cleared so that you can live not only in your heart, but hopefully in the highest state possible for you, and also so that the new souls coming to the planet can do their work in a beautiful, pristine environment. Yes, a reset button is going to happen. A reset is going to take place. But it is nothing to get overly excited about or attached to. Yes, it's exciting to be here during the shift of the ages, but our advice to you is to not get attached to the warfare, the abuse. Do not get attached to the unfairness. Don't get attached to the negativity that's happening on your planet right now. It is coming up for karmic release. It must happen. And it is just a huge bump in the road to get to the other side. I love you. And I want to make the suggestion that you put your energy, attention, your focus on raising your vibration. Clear out all the negativity, all the negative karma, even positive karma. Just clear out all of this past life residue that you have experienced so that you can open yourself up to something much greater. This is my advice to you, because it will behoove you and behoove your communities. Do not get sucked down into something that you don't have any control over, and do not get attached to anything that is not going to evolve you or bring you into a higher state of evolution. Understand that all souls are immortal, and all souls are here to learn lessons and also to evolve. And it is not for us to judge what is happening to this individual or that individual, this group or that group, because the reality is there are long, long karmic cycles of individuals and groups acting and interacting with each other, sometimes in a very negative fashion. And honestly, everything that is coming up right now, most of it is karmic It is a karmic payback. And so unless you can see directly into the eyes or the soul of an individual, just understand that it is finishing off a long karmic chain of negativity that has been existing here on this planet since Atlantis, since the fall of Lemuria. Do not get attached. Keep yourselves high. Keep yourselves in love. Be of service. Bring in compassion. If you see someone suffering, whether it's an individual, an animal, even a plant, we ask that you bring in your compassion. Be there for these individuals that are going through this stressful time and not understanding exactly what's happening. They might not understand the ascension process. If you can be of service to anyone who is suffering, please do that. If all you can do is to keep yourself contained as this shift unfolds and to keep yourself connecting to the higher energies, then do that. Do not judge yourself and do not judge other people. Just be happy that you're here during the greatest shift of the ages and that you will be experiencing this beautiful new world and golden age that is unfolding as we speak. Stay in the light, focus on the positive, be love, because honestly, that is what you are. I am your Divine Mother, and I send you my highest and best blessings. And I ask that you call on me whenever you have a situation where you need some support or maybe some guidance or maybe just some love. Call on me. I am here for you, and I love you. Namaste.
Oh, that was fantastic. Thank you so much, Lemurian Mother Goddess and Donna. That was beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you.
You know, I think she had a lot there with the attachment. Mandy and I have talked about it before, where as opposed to survival of the fittest, let's go with survival of the most adaptable. Being able to shift and flex requires an incredible amount of non-attachment. So wonderful advice from the mother.
Well, thank you. And I can feel and see the divine feminine rising. I see a lot of women coming into their power. They're getting in contact with their soul mission, their divine purpose for being on the planet. And you can see women today just doing, I don't know, they just do so much and they are in every single area, but there's just a movement of women that are, you know, taking the reins of power, you know, and it's something to see. And I feel like I'm witnessing that right as we speak. So.
It's true. I remember when Donald Trump got presidency and people were extremely depressed by that. And I was just neutral about it because my spirit guide said, with this amount of ego that's present, there's going to be an equal and plus amount of heart to match it. And I was like waiting for the big flush. Guess what came? The Me Too movement, which just accelerated, in my opinion, women's energy significantly. And then you often saw them getting more involved in politics and getting seats in higher positions. So just because we're in a space where things are a bit negative and not looking real pretty, just know that with every downside, there's going to be a flush of understanding and awareness that is going to get us to where we want to go. It's not going to be peaches and cream. It's not going to be all hate and violence either, but it's going to take some work, which us old souls are totally cut out for.
Definitely. And it's also really about balancing that feminine and masculine energy within yourself. My guide, or I don't think it was my guides actually, but someone taught me an infinity meditation a while back, which actually helps to balance the masculine and feminine energies within yourself, because the corpus callosum is that bunch of fibers or nerves between the two hemispheres of the brain. And part of the problem with humans is that those, you know, the right hemisphere of the brain might dominate or the left hemisphere of the brain might dominate in a person's body. And so scientists have proven that the most adaptable people, even the most intelligent and the most emotionally intelligent people, have a system where the right hemisphere and the left hemisphere of the brain talk to each other, and they're in more harmony, they're in equilibrium. So it's a very simple meditation. I don't know why this is coming up, but basically you just imagine the infinity symbol, and where it crosses would be directly over your third eye. And you can do that meditation when you're sitting at a red light, when you're waiting in a doctor's office, when you're on hold on the phone, and that will bring the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere more into balance and help you to have your feminine and masculine energy more balanced in your body and your brain. So that's another thing that's going on with us individually and collectively. So.
Excellent. Thanks for sharing that. And I want to use the last few minutes here for you to tell everyone how they can get a hold of you. And we're going to close out with our new Heart Over Ego commercial. So, Donna, I want to give you a few minutes to tell everyone how they can get a hold of you and what's the best way, and maybe even what you offer.
Oh, sure. Thank you so much, Jenny. Mm-hmm. So basically, I can be reached at LemurianDonnaCarroll@gmail.com, or you can go to my Facebook page, Lemurian Donna Carroll. And hopefully in a week, my website will be up, LemurianDonnaCarroll.com. And basically, I make my living by doing readings. So I read for either a half an hour or an hour. I think I read the Akashic Records because I tell people, I mean, my guides come through and they tell people about their past lives, their galactic origins, and any other information that's pertinent at the time. So I do half hour and hour readings, and I teach people how to channel, which I love. I love to teach. I actually taught high school in my former life. So this is kind of a continuation, but so yeah, they can reach me those ways. And I would love, if anyone has questions, they can, about Lemuria or about the Mother Goddess, feel free to send me an email.
Yeah. Excellent. Fantastic. And as always, it's a pleasure. We are the Alchemy Sisters, and this is the Heart Over Ego Podcast Network. You can find us in any major podcast app, Heart Over Ego Radio, and you can also find our sister station, Third Eye Political Radio. If you like the way we talk about spirituality, you're definitely going to like the way we talk about politics. So I'm Jenny McDaniel, and like always, I have the lovely Mandy Elam, and today our special guest was Donna Carroll. Go ahead and check some of our archived episodes. You'll find our original interview with Donna several years ago. So thank you so much, Donna, for being here. And of course, we're going to want you on season 4 next year. So we'll be in contact, of course, before then, but definitely then to get you in on the next season. We appreciate you all. And everyone, have a lovely evening. And this is our newest commercial.
You are listening to Heart Over Ego Radio, a network of shows offering healing and guidance for your beautiful journey. Tune in on Mondays for the Alchemy Sisters, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern. Tuesdays, tune in and tune up. Body Awareness and Self-Care, 11 Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Wednesdays, One for All is Love, 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 p.m. Eastern. Thursdays, Unbound with Cynthia Martin, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 Eastern. Fridays, The Witching Hour with Greenwich Village and the Alchemy Sisters, 11 Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and on Fridays, Rain Radio, 10 Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Saturdays, Creating Heaven on Earth, 11 Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Sundays, Everyday Psychic Radio at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. This is the Heart Over Ego Radio Network.